Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and this is CougarCast. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is one of the most listened to college sports podcasts on iTunes, and we appreciate the support. Tosh is still in Africa. He will be back from Africa next week. We will have him on. I had a special guest lined up, but the recording went haywire, and so you're just going to get me. But we're going to make it up. We're going to have a really good show today. I want to talk about some of the things that are concerning to me. The slow starts for the Cougars, very concerning. We're going to talk a little bit about that because against a top 15 team like Boise State at Boise, where they've had over 30 straight wins against non-conference opponents when they've been on the Smurf turf, you know, it's just going to be a formidable challenge. They're undefeated, and so we'll look into how Boise State likes to operate, how they win football games, and why they're so difficult to solve. But first, let's talk a little bit about the Big 12. So devotees to the show may remember or know that personally, conference expansion has never been a topic that I have been particularly interested in or concerned about. And here's why. As far as it concerns me, BYU is going to have to put out a team that's good enough to run the table no matter what conference they're in. If they're independent and they play a schedule like this and they run the table, it is possible for them to get a shot or at least play in the New Year's Six games. I think that with the schedule that we've had this year and some of the schedules we have lined up and the fun that has come from independence in that way, we're already playing the kind of schedule that is similar to what you might see if we were in a conference like the Big 12. So at the end of the day, the most important thing is how good we are by our own merit. We don't need to have the association with other universities to help us. The association with other universities will make no difference in BYU's destiny, ultimately. Because I think if they're ever to play in the big games, they're going to have to go undefeated or have a one-loss season with a monster schedule. And they have to control what they can control and do the things that they can do in their own sense. And so, you know, people talk about the importance of access and all of that. And I just think from a football standpoint, if BYU can force their hand by being a really excellent program that wins games, that has a reputation for winning big games, that when they get into, deep into the season when they're 6-0 and they have opportunities to really make noise, they go ahead and do it. Frankly, we need a little bit of a Boise State feel to us and have it be where winning in Provo, Utah is really difficult. And it's tough now. There's no question about that. But it's not a huge surprise if another team comes in and beats us. If anybody were to go to Boise and win, there would be a moment of like, wow, like that's a really great win. And I think that, to me, has to change for BYU. They have to start ripping off, 10, 11-win seasons you know, long home winning streaks and continue to kind of have this huge growth within the program where we go deep into seasons undefeated, where people begin to think of us as a potential team for the New Year's Six or for the playoff. And too frequently early in the season, we lose games, or we don't very often get deep into the season without a loss. The point that I'm making is just to say that the most important factor for access to win a national championship, to compete to be the best team in the country, the most important factor is to have the best team in the country and play at a level that allows you to beat anybody in the country on any given night. And I think we're clearly not there. We are 4-3 this season, okay? And we've had those three losses were a combined 7 points, but we've had several victories that were very, very close. And, you know, only one game that was kind of comfortable. So I just think that the biggest factor going forward for this football team is control what you can control and start executing and ripping off long winning streaks. And let's get through the first month of a season without anything in the loss column. And that doesn't happen all that much. I think it's happened just one time in the last decade. Since 2000, I want to say maybe it's happened twice. In the history of the school, we've made it through a regular season undefeated twice. So, you know, in almost 100 years of football, we've only had opportunities where this dream scenario that makes the Big 12 so viable and so important, there's only been two seasons where we've potentially even had a team that went out and won football games. And so, to the level that we would need to win football games. I understand that you can win the conference championship in the Big 12, and then that gives you some cachet, gives you some margin for error to have one loss, okay? But you can't have two losses, okay? You have to have a one-loss season, essentially, in order to make the playoff. If you suffer a couple losses, you miss the playoff. That's what happened to the Stanford Cardinal last year. So I think in terms of football, we already have a really nice scenario. And I think that if you want to change the mind so that it's more inclusive, so that BYU can kind of get the Notre Dame treatment, you have to start winning football games like Notre Dame. You have to improve yourself as a program to get to that spot. And so, you know, we can ride coattails. We can say that our association with an Oklahoma and Texas, you know, that would be the sort of thing that we could rest our laurels upon and use that as a way to get a bunch of money and to have, you know, some stability as a program. But I kind of like the idea that BYU as a program is going to have to do it by the results that they create on the field. They're going to have to do it via meritocracy. I'm not totally convinced that the Big 12 was a great fit anyhow. Just culturally, it just didn't feel like a good fit culturally as a conference. They are kind of a mess, right? Like, does anybody think that they're a really well-run conference? Does anybody think that, you know, it would be ideal to be in a conference where two institutions, you know, rule the roost and the rest of you just kind of fall in line and are kind of at the mercy of Texas and Oklahoma? I mean, that's sort of what we were trying to jump into. And I understand the idea of money being important to the university. But as a fan, I'm not sure why you care about that. Like, the money doesn't come into your pocket. I don't think that it makes a huge difference overall on your experience going to games. I don't think that it makes much of a difference to you as a fan in any way. Now, I get that money's nice and that it makes it so that locker rooms are nicer, and perhaps, you know, that is going to be the thing that makes the change for people in recruiting. But, you know, I have to say, there's sort of a true message there with Bronco Mendenhall gave, where it's, you either want BYU because of what BYU has to offer, or you don't. I don't think that having a barber shop at the student athlete building, you know, is going to be the thing that turns the tide for a potential football recruit. And so the money thing, to me, it's nice. Of course it's nice. It's wonderful. Yeah, I'll take more money. Great. But ultimately, like, that's a concern for Tom Holmo and for the, you know, the board of directors for Brigham Young University worry about. As fans, I'm not sure that that's really something that we need to worry about. Beyond that, if the real issue is that the team would like to have more exposure, you know, they can do things, again, on their own terms as an independent. There's a great relationship that we have with ESPN. It seems steady. It seems that they're happy with us. And fans seem to be pretty happy with ESPN, except for that all of our games occur late at night. But the thing that I think about with the Big 12 is that their official statement of leaving BYU out of it, that's, I just don't really think it's that big of a deal. And had we got in, I don't think that it would have been that big of a deal. Like, it would have been fun to have Texas come to town regularly. But at the end of the day, we have fun teams coming to town. We have a lot of opportunity to see BYU play against great programs. And so I'm not totally convinced that all is lost and that this is a big deal. And I think the BYU fans have been really pretty good and pragmatic about how kind of silly the Big 12 has been in the whole selection process. And I've seen people say that they would have felt better, you know, that they feel better because nobody got in. And if other people would have got in and we wouldn't have got in, oh, that would have been crushing. But again, I'm just not wholly convinced what the Big 12 gives you, other than some more money, which is a non-factor for a fan, and what, like the chance to play Texas Tech? I don't get it. So for football, it's not really an issue. The place where it matters the most is for the other sports, like for men's basketball. Inclusion in the Big 12 would have been huge. That would have been great. Going and playing at, you know, against Kansas would have been fantastic. And having them come to our building, that would have been great. And frankly, because it's a better conference, because it gets more respect, getting to March Madness, I think, is a lot easier if you're in one of those conferences. Even though you're going to have a tougher schedule, like, we might lose more games, but I think we go to more March Madnesses. The odds of the West Coast Conference sneaking three teams in is pretty low. And we've seen that being the kings of the West Coast Conference is not an easy task. Okay, Gonzaga as an organization is one of the finest basketball programs in the country. I mean, you could argue that they are the best basketball program in the West. And if you don't think it's them, I guess you're thinking Arizona or UCLA. But even UCLA has been down. Arizona's had down years. Like, Gonzaga's always there. Always there. I don't know. And then there's the whole thing where BYU's cursed when they play conference championship games. So I just wanted to point out that I think that it's an important thing for us to remember that the other sports they're the big losers when the Big 12 said no. I don't think BYU football, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't change a ton. All it meant was is that we either have to beat Big 12 teams and go nearly undefeated or have one loss and play a Big 12 conference schedule and three other opponents, or we need to play 8 or 9 Power 5 conference teams throughout the year, you know, and still go undefeated. they still have to play a hard schedule and win all their games, and it doesn't matter what conference you're in. So I don't really get it. So it's okay. I if you're feeling sad about it, if you're don't just start thinking about it in the terms of, you know, every single game that you play, you have to win. The margin for error in college football is so little, you know, you just can't lose games, and you really got to go deeper into the year, and you've got to get people thinking about your program in that term, where they think, boy, just, you know, every time you go against the BYU Cougars, that's a really difficult game. And yeah, there's respect for BYU, but there's teams that still expect to beat BYU no matter what, if they come to Provo. And I think almost any team in the country who schedules Boise State and decides to go to Albertsons Field and play on the Smurf Turf in Boise, okay, most of those teams are really scared of that trip. I mean, I think they think that's a very, very, very difficult task. And I'm not sure there's that many teams that can go up there and do it. So the Cougars head to Boise. They come off a big win, emotional game, double overtime game against Mississippi State. And, you know, I love pointing out when games are the Ernest Hemingway games, right? That's the phrase I like to use for them. Ernest Hemingway said that the greatest thrill that a man could have is to be shot at and nearly missed. There were so, like, I feel like during that Mississippi State game, like, there was the magazine of bullets that came flying at BYU was just gigantic. There was just so many things that had to go right for BYU. And they were very fortunate to come away with the win. And I was happy that they were able to. But the thing that's most concerning as we go forward, as we look at Boise State, is the slow starts for BYU are very concerning. Like, fortunately, nobody has been able to really put a ton of distance between BYU and themselves at halftime. And so, like, if the offense is slow, the defense seems to play pretty well. If the offense is doing all right, the defense seems to struggle. But there doesn't seem to be a great start, a team complete start to BYU, and it's particularly offensively. But when everybody's game plan is in place, when all the stuff that you worked on during practice is most fresh and ready to go and most relevant, when you physically are at your best, both teams, when they're at their best, they're most physically fit, they're most prepared and everything, it just seems that it seems that BYU offense is unable to execute or do the things that it wants to do when both teams are at their best early in the game and when they're fresh and everything else. And I think it's kind of interesting that these slow starts have yet to really bite the Cougars this season. And that's the thing that I'm most concerned about as we look at Boise State. Boise State has been an incredible team at getting out of the gates and get the game going in a way that they want, and executing and using their game plan early on to put some distance between themselves and their opponents. And yeah, they've played an easier schedule. They're in the Mountain West. They're taking care of business against people when they play them. But the biggest thing is that with that distance, they're able to kind of lay off a little bit. And, you know, it's been noted that they slow down in the fourth quarter and that they aren't as effective. But I think part of what's going on there is that they don't need to really do a ton in the fourth quarter. They don't need to keep scoring points. They are just trying to get out of there, be healthy, and move on to the next week and just keep collecting wins. But they have had two games where they needed to continue to execute and maybe struggled a little bit in the fourth quarter. They had a little bit of a hard time with Colorado State, had a little bit of a hard time with Washington State. And as they allowed other teams to kind of hang around, they were able to get enough plays to come away with the victory, but have had some trouble late in the game. But the key in both of those scenarios was that they put enough distance between themselves and their opponent early in the game that even though they were kind of crumbling and falling apart later in the game, nobody was really able to pass them and to come away with the victory and to really put a ton of stress on Boise State. So BYU, if they're going to win in Boise and get a top 15 win on the road, that's something that doesn't happen. All right, Lavelle Edwards was the coach, I think, the last time that we won against a top 15 team on the road. If they're going to go and do that, there can't be slow starts. They've got to be so much better earlier on in the game, and they've got to be able to figure out how to get things rolling early on. There's a trio of talented offensive players for Boise State that will be doing everything in their power to try to put BYU behind early on and have the talent to do so if the Cougars aren't ready to play right away. Okay, Brett Rypien, great quarterback. He's been absolutely fantastic for Boise State. He's got 1,600 yards through six games. He has been really tremendous for Boise State back there. He's got 12 touchdown passes, very low interception rate. He makes right decisions, and he's able to throw the football downfield. Okay, he has 1,600 yards passing. He's got 30 less attempts than Taysom Hill and 200 more yards passing. That gives you an idea of where he's completing his passes and how he's looking downfield and how he'll challenge the BYU secondary to make plays downfield. Fortunately for BYU, they've got a great way to counter aggressive passing downfield. It's interceptions. The Cougars are one of the best teams in the country at forcing interceptions. When we have a chance to catch an interception, we do it. And almost always, you can only think of a couple times this year where BYU has not capitalized on an opportunity to force a turnover through the air. But Rypien, he loves to look for Thomas Spurbeck. Spurbeck is very talented. He wears 82 for the Broncos. He has six touchdown catches, so he's averaging one a game, over 700 yards. You know, that's incredible. He's averaging over 100 yards a game and a touchdown. That guy is a weapon. If Mike Davis can do anything to slow down Thomas Spurbeck and force some of those other Boise State receivers to make plays, that may be another way in which they can frustrate Brett Rypien. Now, let's say they are able to contain a little bit of all the different looks that Boise gives you offensively. There's a problem in the backfield, too. Jeremy McNichols last year struggled big time against BYU. I thought that he had a difficult time. It was the worst game of his career, and it was one of those games that he had real struggles. I think he looks to bounce back, obviously, looking to have a very big game, redeem himself for his performance against BYU. So what we're going to see is the big number 13 in the back field. McNichol, 776 yards. He's got 11 touchdowns. That's really big. And, you know, we know that there's game-time decisions with the guys up the middle that can do things to try to limit Jeremy McNichols. You know, Butch Pau, if he's back, that'll be huge. Travis Tuiloma, if he is able to play more downs than normal, that will be huge. But I don't know that you can rely on that. The key is being really solid with tackling. You can't allow McNichols to get rolling, and you've got to really square him up. Okay, you can't trip him up. You can't put your arm out. You've really got to wrap up. You got to put your body into him, and you got to drive him into the ground. He's not an easy person to break down. He is absolutely a stud at running back. And so, stud quarterback, stud running back, stud wide receiver, Elisa Tuiaki has got some problems to solve. So whenever Boise comes up, all the attention seems to go on their offense, and there's good reason for that. They're good at offense, but also their defense is actually able to do quite a bit of good stuff. In fact, they've got three players that I think can make life pretty difficult on Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams and Ty Detmer and slow them down. And the first, I like the middle linebacker, Tanner Vallejo. He seems to be really solid inside there. He really likes to step up. He makes great decisions, and he's able to, you know, have a good nose for the football. He's a solid tackler. I think Tanner Vallejo versus Jamal and his ability to kind of grab Jamal and bring him down and tackle well, that'll be huge. You know, that was what the biggest thing that Mississippi State was able to do to slow down the BYU offense and make things difficult for Jamal. He only got 70-something yards on his 25 carries. Like, Jamal, one of the things that they were really good at doing to him is really wrapping up, being solid with their tackles and bringing him down. The same thing will have to happen for Boise State, and the guy that'll have to really lead that charge and be the example of that is Tanner Vallejo. If Jamal can start working to the outside, he needs to work opposite of Ben Weaver, the outside backer for Boise. He's also an extremely talented player. I think Ben Weaver has the ability to make life difficult on the outside as a linebacker. I do not have a ton of faith, however, in that Boise State defensive line. I actually think the offensive line will be able to get a little bit more time in terms of blocking. Also on their run blocks, they'll be able to maybe open up some more space. And to help step up into the run and to help cheat up into that run is Chancellor James. He's their strong safety. He's another very good player there at safety. And Chancellor James has the ability to really lay some big hits. And so I think what you're going to see is those three guys will need to be really sure when it comes to tackling. And that team for Boise State has the ability to force BYU to really have to throw and throw downfield. Or, you know, I mean, we did a lot of dinking and dunking against Mississippi State. As evidence, the longest completion of the night for Taysom Hill was 25 yards. That's good. The problem is that completion occurred behind the line of scrimmage, and it was to the tight end, Baldery, in the second overtime. He took it 25 yards in for the touchdown, but he completed that pass behind the line of scrimmage. It was his longest pass of the evening. Looking downfield, we did a little bit better. We went 2 for 5 throwing downfield. That's 40%, and we were able to gain 34 yards. So 34 yards on 5 passes. That's okay. That's actually better than what we're doing on average anyhow. But, I just think that with the inability to stretch the field in the passing game with any sort of reliability and the inability for the Cougars to really threaten anybody with the big play through the air, it really limits what you're able to do offensively. And again, We'll have to see if that comes into play against Boise State, but it certainly came in play against Mississippi State. The Cougars did just enough to come away with the victory. But, you know, and this is where I'll end it. When you have a tough road game and you have the opportunity to go and win at Boise State, and the Cougars have had a couple chances in the past to come away with the big win, you know, in Boise. I think that it's possible for us to win. We can't play from behind. I do not think that we can make the plays late on the road to come back and get the win. I worry about our ability to do that. So, you know, in true road games this year, when we've needed to really make a run and come back and be there in close games, we haven't been able to do it. So the question is, can we get another Satake surprise? Yeah, I think this is a game where we can go and make enough plays to come away with a win. I think it'll be extremely difficult. But I think that early stage of the game is going to, first quarter is really going to be just gigantic. I don't like our, you know, we might have to win a close one and hopefully we're with them the whole way. But if we're down a couple scores going into the fourth quarter, I don't like our chances there. You know, one more thing. Tyler Rousa, the kicker for Boise State, really good. I think that he's a weapon for them and that they can score points with Tyler Rousa. So they're pretty steady in their kicking game. I just think, to go back to everything else, really tough game. I think that the Cougars will have to be able to run. Jamal's got to break tackles. He's got to have at least 120 yards for BYU to have a chance in this game on the road. Taysom's got to play clean. Can't throw interceptions. He's got to be really clean as a quarterback. In the second half against Mississippi State, he was a lot better. The first half, he was really, really bad. And honestly, you know, I think that what we're going to see is that we're going to see him continue to do sort of the things that he does. He'll be an under 120 quarterback rating kind of guy. He'll complete a lot of passes, but none of them will be downfield. And so we know what we are at this point. We've seen 7 games from this team. So for game number 8, I just think to take the kind of team that we are and take it on the road and come away with a win against a top 14 team, you know, in a place where it's really difficult to win on the road, I just don't, midweek, you know, all those things, all those factors really hurt our ability to come away with a win here. It has to be Jamal Williams. Jamal has to have a better game. He has to have better blocking in front of him, and he has to break a few runs if BYU is going to win. I worry about that. And even if Jamal does do all that, I do think that we've got to do enough through the air to be dangerous. And I'm, as you well know, I'm not totally convinced that that's the case. So I'll take Boise State in this one. I actually think if BYU is going to beat Boise State, they got to win kind of in a shootout type game, kind of like what we had against Toledo. Maybe not as many points, but that's sort of what we're going to have happen. I think that you're going to see Boise come away. I think they're going to come away and explode early on. I think they're going to put the pressure on early in the game. BYU will make a run. They will make adjustments. They will have a comeback. But I do think it'll end up being a 7-point game. I like Boise State in this one. I will take them 31-24. Sorry for the lateness of this week's CougarCast. We had, again, technical difficulties. And my compadre, old Tosh, he is out of the country, out of the continent, out of the hemisphere. So we'll welcome him back, and I'm sure all of you are very excited to have the return of Tosh McIntosh. But thank you very much for listening to the show. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at CougarCast, and go Cougars.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars.